I was watching it actually from a bar in St. Louis, talking to Bosnian soccer players while eating a cheeseburger. So it was actually very entertaining.
And how was the cheeseburger?
It was actually really good.
Burger, I'm really hungry right now, you guys.
Cheese curds. It was just very cheesy, very good.
Very cheesy and good, just like you, buddy.
Yeah, well. You didn't get much argument there, man. Tim's got me drinking. Give me beer, whiskey, wine, or gin. Anything to shake this, but I'm in. But Tim's got me drinking.
That, are you or are you not tingly yet?
I am never going to respond to you asking me if I'm tingly.
Well, if this game doesn't get you tingly, then I don't know what will get a human being tingly. First place versus second place. Good guys versus bad guys.
Good versus evil.
Good versus evil. Objective evil, Seattle is.
They are green with envy.
Oh, boy.
So, Chad, we have Chad here again. He has joined us once again. That is him giggling at me making fun of Thad. I'm going to get their names straight. It's hard saying Chad and Thad.
Wait, you're making
fun
of me? What? Hell with you, man.
Yeah, what's going on, man? Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back again. And only 1 week between visits instead of 2 years, something like that. That's pretty awesome.
2 years. I told you we'd get you back on. We needed our expert. You wrote the preview for the Seattle game, so we needed an expert here. Here he is. And I guess Greenwald is just ignoring our invites. We keep trying. I don't know. He's not responding. I don't know. I guess he doesn't want to come on. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true. Did you email him like today?
That's a pretty low bar for an expert, by the way.
I agree. Like I write a preview by just Googling everything.
Because Thad has not locked down someone recording us an intro yet, we're working on it. Going to have someone cool give us a Shades of Blue intro. But so because we haven't done it yet, I guess I should give us a quick one. Cody, Thad, and Robert, as always, from the Blue Testament. And Chad is visiting us, another mainstay of the Blue Testament. This is the Shades of Blue soccer show. And as I said, Thad is going to get us. He's locking down a cool intro recording, I hope.
And until I do, we should just find a way to get Vermees to say all the different words than the right, you know, the Shades of Blue soccer show. And we could just cut it together.
Yes, yeah, so just there
shades
we go.
Of Blue.
Just over 1 month period, ask him random questions. Like what at the end of a game, what color was the sky during the game today?
Well, how are your feelings? Are they feeling blue? You know, maybe we could just work the word shade in there somehow. Yeah, I don't know.
The shades part is probably the hardest one to get him to say, I gotta admit.
No, just ask him what a different word for sunglasses is.
Why don't you come to the press conference and ask that question, and we can try to keep our credibility a little bit.
I don't ever ask questions, so those should definitely be my first ones.
Yeah, at my work, we actually challenge each other to work in certain words with customers. I dare you to work in this word.
we used to try really hard to get Aurelian Collin to say the word focus with his accent.
I wonder how that turned out.
Can French people not say focus?
They can say it.
It just doesn't sound like that word.
His phrasing gave it a little more R rating.
Right, right.
I thought you were going to say je ne sais quoi. You know, let's work that French in there, right?
But we got your Spanish accent the other day. You don't want to give us a little bit of your French as well?
Not with that word.
Okay. Seattle, let's give our fans, our listeners, people that are begrudgingly listening to us, a little background on the Seattle Sounders. I guess we did have a game against them in July. It hasn't been that long. But let's give us an update. Chad, you wrote the preview. Give us something from the team here. Who should we be watching for?
I mean, I think you got to watch for Raul Ruiz Diaz, but does the guy even play after they played in the League's Cup on Wednesday? Grueling game, lost late. I would think he would definitely play, but maybe he doesn't start. Maybe he comes off the bench if they can play ugly and keep it close until he can come nick a goal.
Well, that would be a jackpot because he has 14 goals on the season, and the next closest is Freddy Montero with 6. So he is the majority of their action.
Yeah, yeah, if you could just man mark him out of the match, I think someone said that in our comments, like, and just take your chances with everybody else, you're in pretty good shape because there's no one else. I mean, the third highest scorer is Brad Smith, who's their left back. It was part-time left back at that because Jimmy Madronda battles for those minutes.
Yeah, and Jimmy, speaking of Jimmy, had like the goal of the season. That was this year, wasn't it?
That was. It was a banger.
I could not believe he, I guess he did it a couple times for us, but that is the goal that I waited for years to happen, that I jumped up out of my seat every time he was about to take one of those rips. Like, I was waiting for that to happen regularly. And it drives me insane he did that against the Sounders, or for the Sounders.
He did that in every game. Sorry, Chad.
Well, yeah, he definitely did. Like, he was pretty good about putting him on target for the most part. You know, everybody misses wildly occasionally when you're hitting them that hard, but he had some screamers, you know, absolutely for Sporting.
You remember game he came back from his injury? He hit one off the bar just like that. Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Well, the thing that I always remember about it was they had a set piece, a corner kick designed to float the ball out to him on the far post, like at the top corner of the box, to where he would volley it in the air, a corner kick across the field. Like, it was literally designed for him to just swing at it out of the air. Like, I couldn't believe it, but he would. You know, we could always see him doing stuff like that in training, so it wasn't even that crazy.
Yeah, I just feel like all of his goals are actually spectacular. It wasn't just that one. It was like everyone for Sporting was pretty spectacular, too. He didn't just have tap-ins.
So are we going to get a chance to show him some love? Is he going to get on the field?
He did sub off early against Club Lyon on Wednesday, so it's a possibility that he would be available to play. You know, you would think he'd at least get to come on as a sub. He's an attacking left back for sure, as we all remember.
He'll probably come on with Rui Diaz in order to set up a goal.
Yeah, hope the game's so out of hand they don't even waste putting them into the game.
Right. Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. Yeah. Okay. So Chad, you predicted a 3-2 shootout. What are you thinking, man?
Yeah, so I as I walked up to the prediction part, I basically talked everything against there being a high-scoring game. But yeah. But here's my logic. Here's my logic. Well, first off, it's just, you know, classic fandom. I just want things to happen, you know. But then secondly, if Sporting can score early, then I think there's absolutely a possibility that a lot of goals go into the net. And Sporting leaks goals sometimes, right? So they could let Seattle back into it. You saw last night, Seattle got down 3-1 and then they battled all the way back to 3-2, that late kind of ugly, weird deflection goal. But whatever, they were in it. They were creating opportunities.
No, I just hear you being afraid to make a statement. You want to have all your grounds covered so you can be like, see, look, I was right either way.
Have you ever read one of my previews? That's exactly how I write them all.
Well, you're giving away your secrets of your trade here tonight. Be careful.
He's on it, man. Gotta give him credit.
Yeah, I mean, Chad, I agree that the first goal is going to be critical. I mean, if Sporting doesn't score the first goal, I think we could be in a world of trouble. If Seattle goes up, yeah, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think. But if we do go up first, Seattle's going to pull out and push up more. And, yeah, we could find another one on the counter ourselves, and it could explode.
Yeah, I agree 100%. If they score early, it's going to be bad. It could be ugly. It could be hard to watch, right? Just putting 10 guys behind the ball most of the game, except for your striker. And that's a possibility because Sporting give up a lot of early goals. But I'm hopeful because you saw how Sporting played against Minnesota. And I tweeted, like, I don't know, once it was 2-0, I said, this is why teams bunker against Sporting Kansas City, because when they don't, That's what the team wants, right? They want to pick you apart. They want to play out of the back. Makes us nervous sometimes because they're playing from so deep. But if they have that space, they'll carve you up and pass through it. It's just a matter of finishing the chances. And they finish at a pretty high rate compared to a lot of the league. Their expected goals was under 2 against Minnesota, and they got 4.
Yeah, they may not even need to score a goal first to bunker. They may just come out and do that anyway, because teams for years have just seen that it is effective to do that against them at home. So,
well, that's pretty much Seattle's style, though, is they just sit back and they do that at home. They do that against everybody. It's not just Sporting. They're going to sit back and counter, and they do that well. I mean, Vermees talked about it a couple days ago, that's they're very comfortable with just sitting back and absorbing pressure.
Yes, they do that well, being objectively evil. Is that what the Seattle Sounders do? I agree. Yes. You're so smart, man, Thad.
I still think they're evil, yes.
Now, they haven't been scoring a whole lot recently, but if you look back at their schedule, they had three games in a row on the road. They beat Portland, they beat Dallas, they beat Columbus. We know how good their road record is. So, yeah, that's their bunker style.
And now they are coming off two straight losses here. Thankfully, RSL, another objectively evil team, did something good once in their lives and helped us out, beat Seattle, ruined one of their games in hand there. So that was nice. And then we were talking about the League's Cup here before we turned on the mics, and that was another exciting loss for Seattle. So let me ask you guys this. What do you think the record, the head-to-head record between Sporting Kansas City and the Seattle Sounders are? Chad's already looking. I saw him. He was already looking.
No cheating. Looking.
I don't know the answer, so I'm just going to Google it.
I just want you to take a guess here. Right, so it's across all competitions. Since 2011, there's been 19 meetings.
Okay, I'm going to say that Sporting is ahead.
Okay. Is that's your general feeling, Chad?
Yeah. By not a lot, though.
And Chad,
I'm not going to guess because I already Googled it and looked it up. Can I spoil it?
Yes, go ahead.
It is a dead even 7-7-5. 7 wins, 7 losses, 5 draws.
Yeah, that was crazy. Just because in my head, it seems like they get the better of us. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, it better be out of hand there by the end. It better be out of hand just because I don't know that my heart can take Seattle scoring another 85th minute plus equalizer or winner against us. I can't do it. See, it feels like it happens every game.
I think
they did have a string for a while.
You see, us old people like Thad and I, we always think about the 2012, you know,
yes,
Open Cup final. You know, we think about that and then we're like, oh, we got them.
Oh, there's just been so many just heartbreak of them. What was that? Is that Brad? Oh, man. What was that?
Brad
defender?
Evans, former Brad Evans? Sporting Kansas City defender or no, midfielder, not never playing
the other guy. The other guy. They had another big
Eddie Johnson. Eddie Johnson.
Chad Marshall, my namesake, Chad.
Maybe I'm thinking of Chad Marshall, but they did. They had one center back that just kept scoring goals against us. It seemed like they were all late winners.
Chad Marshall, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Chad. Very, very good with his head for sure. I will say, I think you're thinking further back there, Cody, because there was that run, right, where they're stoppage time winners or equalizers or, you know, whatever the case, or just heartbreaking games. But lately, Sporting have a lot of pretty good wins against them. I mean, obviously, the 3-1 beating in Seattle earlier this year. No Alan Pulido in that game, by the way, which it's like, oh, what will the team do without Pulido? But hey, they put up 4 goals, you know, last weekend without Pulido.
Yeah. Yeah. And get this, in the last 6 regular season, oh, this is home matches. Oh, that's why. Last 6 regular season home matches, 4-0-2 against Seattle. So that's quite encouraging.
I'd like to thank Sam Kovsen for all these stats that Cody's reading out of the By the Numbers article, I'm sure.
I do my research, you guys.
All right, can we talk about this? All right,
reading Cosman's articles.
If Seattle bunkers, which they will, we tend to, especially if we get late in the game and desperate, start just throwing in crosses. We all know that doesn't work for us. So you're talking about Pulido up front. Pulido's the kind of guy we need up front instead of a Kyrie Shelton, who can play in tight spaces, create spaces there, create something out of nothing. So I'm hoping Pulido's good to go. You would think he would be after throwing out the first pitch at the Royals. But I think Gadi Kinda is also a key factor there to break down a bunker. And again, I hope the impetus is let's go at them. Let's not just throw in crosses. Let's go at them. Let's carve out space with creativity and do it that way.
All right. So you think Kinda's the key to doing that?
I think it's Shallowy. I didn't say anything about Shallowy at all. I'm talking about Kinda and Pulido. I think are very important. That Shallowy, of course, yeah, but not Kyrie Shelton. That's not his role, and we cannot keep throwing crosses in from the wings and hoping that's going to do it.
I'm just saying, I think it's Shallowy's the key to that because he's the one that can slice the ball through those spots, man.
He can, but him, Shallowy, Kinda, Pulido, that's a pretty good trio right there.
Can we add Cam Duke to that? This kid, if he can get in there, he's very creative. He's moving through those spaces. He's making runs that a lot of guys aren't making. If the team's going to bunker anyways, having a bunch of possession, quick touch, little give and go pass guys up there, that could carve out some space.
Could, yeah.
Sidebar, my favorite thing that I've learned about Cam Duke this year, he's playing good, scoring great goals. What a great find for Sporting Kansas. It's such a great help for Sporting Kansas City this year. Well done on the kid. Bright future. But my favorite thing is that all of his teammates call him Dookie. That is incredible. Just very casually, they just call this kid Dookie every time they see him.
Can I give you a random fact that has nothing to do with Cam Duke, but has more to do with me? But kind of, yeah. Cam Duke? So
please, I hope it has nothing to do with Dookie.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with Dookie. Oh, thank goodness, no. My middle name is Cameron, and my little brother's middle name is Christian. So we got that Christian Duke, Cam Duke, you know, mm-hmm. Chad, Cameron, Corey, Christian. Right. No, just, a, you know, tidbit. That, it connected.
Just more editing for Cody to do.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm leaving. Go in the outtakes. I'm leaving that one in.
That was better than I thought it was going to go there.
Yeah, I'll right. That.
Oh, you didn't have any confidence he was going to come at us with a good content there.
That what he said. It wasn't really connected, and then
I did connect it. That was a bad lead-in. Well, Thad's talked to me for long periods of time in parking lots after soccer matches. He knows we can just drone on at times. So.
No one can keep you in a parking lot standing next to your cars about ready to leave than Thad Bell. He is so good at it. You may have to go somewhere. And if you really did want to leave, you could be like, all right, man, I got to go. But it's good conversation. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying he has this ability. You know, the old Midwest, it's like four times. You're like, all right, I'm heading out. And
it's
like,
just good,
like,
soccer conversation, man. By the way, Chad, did you ever get in trouble with your wife for not leaving when you said you were going to?
I was totally about to say the same thing. The only way I ever leave is when my wife will call me and go, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm talking in the parking lot with Thad. I'll leave right now, I promise. And then sometimes I don't even leave right then, but I'm safe because there's no way she's going to listen to this.
That's what I was going to see if she did, man. Because
it's all right. She's just trying to figure out when to say goodbye to who she's with. So, you know.
Oh, goodness. Robert, my gosh.
So back to tactics. I'm going to bring this up because it's in Chad's preview. The fact that Seattle likes to attack down the right flank, which means defending for us is Martins, Shallowy. Does that scare you guys, or you think that's something that plays into us?
Well, my question about the defense, I guess I kind of not really answering your question at all, was about who, if Izzy is going to be back. That will change a lot there.
I will say possibly, but I don't think he'll be starting yet. I think he's close. Vermees talked the other day about certain guys they can be out for a while and you can give them one day of practice and they're ready to go. Izzy, he really wants to build up and make sure he's ready and stuff because every time he comes back, he gets a little bit hurt. So I think he's just playing it super safe, getting healthy. Maybe he's next year. I don't know.
And I asked that question not because I don't trust Ilya at center back. He's obviously performed admirably, done really, really well. Sporting Kansas City has survived a few bad moments or learning moments as he's still getting used to the position. But the Seattle Sounders just give me this feeling that that's a team that will capitalize on a moment given up by someone who's not a full-time center back.
I kind of agree with that. Like, I'd like to see, you know, Izzy into the lineup there because he's just so good in the air. He's so strong, powerful. You know, he's going to win a lot more headers. Ilya, I always say, is good in the air for his height. He's only 6 foot. And, you know, as a midfielder, he's great in the air. But then as a center back, you need him to be a little bit better. And if they are, you know, coming up that side and crossing stuff in, you know, Rui Diaz doesn't need any space. He's ridiculous. Like, he almost tied that game at the death last night against Albion.
Well, thank you for saying that because I know my take didn't come out very strong because I felt myself about to have to say something bad about Ilya and I shied away from it. I lost all confidence there while I was giving that take. But yeah, you said exactly what was in my head there, Chad.
I mean, I see what you guys are saying, but you also got to think about this. Is this the game to throw him into, number one? Number two, the communication factor. Ilya and Andreu know each other very well. know, they got that going on and they've played together so much. Not sure this is the time you do that and you disrupt that. And God forbid, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this because it goes against what I used to think. Would Peter put Ilya at the six if Izzy's starting? I would hope not, but yeah, I wouldn't want that to happen.
I think that's a good talking point because I think a lot of people assume Ilya goes back to playing the six when Izzy's back, and I just don't think that's the case. I think he's the third center back, and he's the second or third defensive midfielder. I'm not sure if both Mowry and Remy Voltaire are ahead of him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that will just depend on who they're playing, though.
I don't think
that's going to be a strictly first, second spot there because some of it is going to be more about the ball movement than it will be playing defense. So against a team that does bunker a ton, do you want a guy who moves the ball better or do you want a guy who can track back faster?
Yeah, I don't think I moves the ball better. So
I see it from an attacking standpoint, having Ilya move that ball better is good, but then if they are bunkering, you want somebody that can get back because they are coming on the counter. They are fast.
Well, that also means our holding midfielders need to do a better job of when we lose possession, pressuring the ball right away, covering position right away. Hopefully that's what happens.
Can I ask you guys a question then? I want to know who is the holding midfielder on this team. Peter said the other day that Mowry, he is a six that can play the eight, and Remy is an eight who can play the six, but I've liked Voltaire's play at the six better. Is it a needs more time for Mowry, or what are you guys seeing?
I think it's more time, man. He was thrown into that first game with not even had a practice.
Robert, what does your dog think?
She don't give a shit.
Oh, you have a dog, Robert? I thought that was you.
All right, let's get to some ridiculous predictions.
I think I've already got my ridiculous prediction out of the way.
That
3-2 is not really ridiculous, man.
Well, according to Robert, it was.
And well, according to your own research.
Depends who scores first.
I'm going to go 4-1.
4-1 who?
SKC. Shallowy with a pair.
And he's been scoring goals, too.
They just need Colorado to not do anything also.
Yeah, and then we have to go to Seattle.
We already did go to Seattle.
Yeah, we go again.
There's a third game, yep.
Yeah. No, there's not.
There is.
There is.
accurate partial information from Cody, as always.
Oh,
Cody, do you follow MLS, man?
We're playing them a third time this year.
That well, preview that you kept referencing, you know? That I wrote, it said it in there.
I skimmed it.
I know how it is. At least you clicked on it.
But hey, guys, the fans need to come out in full force. I'm a little tired of this, and I might write something about it. I see fans in other places besides the Cauldron being a little lame, not getting into things enough, complaining too much. Get behind this team. It's an important time. Let's do it now. Let's start it Sunday. Let's be their 12th man.
Yes, I can assure you the Cauldron will not be lame because I will be there 3 sheets to the wind.
Does it feel like fans are not as hyped for this team as they could be? They are in first place. They're one of the top scoring teams in the league. They've been playing well. It's like, but people still seem to be down on it. Like, oh yeah, they're not going to, you know, Chad, you're up.
I don't think it's the Chiefs. You were very animated. I thought you were going to say more. I don't think it's about the Chiefs. I mean, yes, there's a certain thing about the Kansas City Chiefs are playing right now, right? Whatever. But like all year, I've kind of felt it, right? And every time anything goes wrong, they're hating on it. This may be the best Sporting Kansas City team in recent memory. Going into the season, I would have never predicted that. But Shallowy's on. Russell's turning it on. If Polito can just stay healthy and in the games, he can be fantastic. Like Kinda's maybe even like underperforming a little bit. Oh, if he turns it up just a notch or two, can you imagine what this team can be? And they're getting more in sync defensively. Oh,
that's the energy I was looking for. Yes, thank you.
See, I just needed to hype somebody else up.
All right, then I won't add what I was going to say. I was going to give an explanation, but okay.
Oh, you're going to bring us back down. Yeah, do it. We'll get back up. We'll end on a high note. Bring us back down.
Go ahead. Come on, man. Come on.
All right. Well, I just think it's just overall cynicism. with this whole COVID thing. You know, everybody's down on things, complaining about this and that and every freaking place you go. I think it's part of that. I think his fans aren't convinced. They want to believe, but they haven't been convinced yet because we have been a little bit up and down. But I think just waiting for to believe, and I just hope this team makes them believe.
I think it's years of having Sporting KC do well all year long and then crap out at the end. That's right. Where I think a lot of this comes from. Is that people
that's what like, I mean, believe. Yeah, make us believe, guys.
Nine mm-hmm. games left.
Nine games. Three on goals ain't all that rough. Our skipper has just been sent off. Support a strong evolve. Don't stop fight, but Fontaine's got me drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. Drinking. My foot Fontaine's got me drinking.